I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
And I'm Valerie.
And today we watched two animated shorts from 1934, both of them Disney. One was a Silly Symphony and the other was a Mickey Mouse cartoon. The first was called The Wise Little Hen and the second was called Orphan's Benefit. The thing linking these two cartoons is that they are the first two cartoons that Disney star, future Disney star at this point, Donald Duck appears in. Do you guys have a notion as to why I would have us watch both of these together instead of one and then another later or what have you?
I don't know. Is it like an argument as to which aired first or like what's the first one that he actually starred in?
And is there a different voice actor for both or something?
No, not quite. The reason is that while I feel The Wise Little Hen is obviously the first time we see Donald Duck, Orphan's Benefit is the first time we see Donald Duck.
Ah, got it.
The Donald Duck we get in Wise Little Hen, like, his ability to slack off is certainly a feature that he has sometimes. His design is there. He has the little boat that sometimes comes up in other versions of him. But, like, is that really what we think of as Donald Duck, what we see in that cartoon?
I suppose.
Whereas you watch Orphan's Benefit, And within moments of Donald talking and reacting, you're like, that's Donald Duck right there.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would agree. His temper, his, you know, his wanting to fight kids.
The things that make Donald beyond just his appearance are what are in Orphan's Benefit. And that's arguably some of the more important things. I'll do a brief synopsis of these cartoons. The Wise Little Hen is a short based on the fable The Little Red Hen. It, of course, features Donald Duck dancing to the sailor's hornpipe. And it's a fable. The hen keeps asking Peter Pig and Donald Duck if they can help her do menial tasks. And they pretend that they have a bellyache to get out of doing it. And then at the end of the cartoon, she's like, oh, do you guys want to help me eat my corn? And suddenly their tummy ache is cured. But they all they get is castor oil because they don't deserve to eat the corn at this point. They didn't help till it or anything. Whereas the second one is another cartoon where Disney and Palace is putting on a variety show. We have a recurring bit of Donald reciting poems, starting with Mary Had a Little Lamb and then Little Boy Blue. And we have a dance sequence with Horace and Clarabelle and Goofy. And we have the introduction of the character Clara Cluck, who is singing an operatic thing while Mickey plays piano. And the whole time, the show that they're putting this on for a group of orphans, because it's an orphan's benefit. That's the title of the cartoon. Who mostly are relatively well-behaved, but are also little scamps and certainly cause problems for some of our actors.
Primarily Donald, I think, because
one of them does, like, shoot a slingshot at Clara and
stuff.
Oh, that
is true.
They definitely cause some other problems. Yeah. But the Donald and the orphans end up having a bit of a battle of wills that goes on as the short continues. What did we think of these cartoons?
They were good. The Little Red Hen, or what was it called?
Wise Little Hen.
Wise Little Hen. That one was in color. That looked really good. Both did. No, they were enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree. I think they were. I enjoyed both of them. And there were a lot of things in both of them that were really amusing. Just very enjoyable.
I'm not, like, huge on Wise Little Hen. Like, it's fun enough. The color looks gorgeous, and the animal voices are funny. But the moral simplicity of the tale is, like, I don't really care for it that much, and it doesn't hold up as well for repeat viewings for me, I guess. Orphan's Benefit is a cartoon that I saw a version of a whole lot as a child, so I've got nostalgia for it for days.
And there's a traumatic part.
we'll get there. To clarify what I mean, the cartoon was actually remade in the 1940s in complete color, redrawn completely. So Donald has his updated 40s character design that is more what modern audiences think of for him, as does Goofy and everything. And that's the version that was on a VHS tape that I saw a whole bunch. As we'll discuss, the short was a success. And so they were like, let's have another guaranteed success and just remake this short and put it back in theaters. We'll talk more about that version of the short much later when we watch it chronologically. I thought about putting it here, but it's like, that's too much. And like, it's fine. We don't need that animation leap. We'll get there when we get there. But let's go ahead and get specific about these shorts. First, let's focus on Wise Little Hen with its story and characters. We've got, it's of course a fable, and our main characters are the Wise Little Hen herself, Peter Pig, and Donald Duck.
And her little chicks.
Yes. It's hard to say that they're really characters, but they're certainly cute.
Well, we could have them like be like one character, because that's what drew me.
I still like, what do you describe them as other than cute and helpful to their mother?
Well, I know. Yeah, they were.
They're basically just an extension of her from a like plot standpoint. But sure, they are cute. Their little shoes are
adorable. They were hard little workers. And they also did some, I don't know whose ideas, you know, they were. But like, even when they were watering after they were, when they were planting the corn. And they were watering. They had like some kind of can with holes in it, and just some of their different. And the horseshoe was—I forgot what the
to do grooves in the earth and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I just like their different little. So it's not clear if this was, you know, her ideas or their ideas, but I think. And then they had these cute little white shoes. You guys, they were so. They all had these little round shoes. They were so cute. So yes, that's what drew me in.
What do we think of Peter and Donald? Who are also actually not terribly distinct. There's basically two sides of this story, but...
Well, and, you know, it's interesting that you point out that Donald, really his personality comes out in the second one, but because he really was just kind of a copycat in the first one. He didn't, you know, he... I don't know if, you know, he saw the pig do the other things, but they basically were just doing the same thing. I mean, literally the same excuse that they had tummy aches and...
They have a club.
Yes. And yeah. then and I forgot, I think of the pig that was the president.
So yes, the pig Peter Pig was president and Donald was vice president, according to the sign.
Of the, like, was it the do-nothing club or what was it?
The idol club.
Club, yes. And yeah, so that was funny. The pig also totally cracked me up when it was singing and its belly would jiggle and as it would like do its oink or something. That, I don't know why that just, the timing and the way it did that, that was funny. I don't know.
Fun fact, both Donald and Peter are voiced by Clarence Nash. Clarence Nash would go on to be the main voice for Donald for decades. This cartoon actually featured the first appearance of Clarence Nash in a Disney production. He'd been a performer in Chantecla and vaudeville during the 1920s and later met Wilfred Jackson, the director of this short, who wanted Nash to provide bird sounds for a cartoon. During the call, Nash performed a rendition of Mary Had a Little Lamb as a Duck, a poem he previously recited on the radio, though that performance was intended to sound like a nervous baby goat. And Jackson sent the music into Walt Disney's office. Disney himself proclaimed, "That's our talking duck."
Oh, that's great.
I also just find
it. Oh my gosh, that's great.
I find it hilarious that in the 1930s, a thing that audiences found amusing enough to be worth listening to on the radio was a grown man reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb as though he's a baby goat. That's just hilarious to me.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing that's like would be in a TikTok now rather than like on the radio, but it's so funny.
Right. It's like there's limited forms of communication.
Yeah, exactly.
So things that might be, like you said, on TikTok or even like a variety TV show or something. Yeah, yeah. Like it's all got to go through radio.
Yep.
I'm just trying to picture what that would be like, Mary.
Oh, yeah. Almost certainly. Like, yeah, almost certainly. Know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is great.
You heard his pig voice, you heard his duck voice. Yeah, you can connect the dots.
His pig voice was like, yeah, it's very funny that this one guy's impression is now ubiquitous.
So as, ubiquitous.
Like, the people who try to do the Donald Duck impression or do it really well, it's just very funny.
I think it's really, for me, it's funny how like kind of, silly and almost off-putting Peter sounds compared to Donald.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I've been hearing Donald Duck's voice since I was a child.
Right.
So I'm just, like, they both have absurd voices. And so does the little hen, who's voiced by Florence Gill. They all sound like silly animals making animal noises as they talk. Like,
yeah.
Also worth noting, Peter Pig's moans specifically were voiced by Pinto Colvig, the voice of Goofy. So thanks for that.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, it's just funny how silly the other two sound compared to Donald, even though objectively Donald sounds silly. We're just used to Donald.
Yeah.
The song featured in the short, Help Me Plant My Corn, was written by Lee Harline, later known for his work on Snow White and Pinocchio.
Yeah, I know that you mentioned, sorry, that there wasn't a lot, or Valerie mentioned there wasn't a lot to this short, but the color, again, was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. I especially enjoyed, like, the corn and even the different things that she made with the corn. But
oh, yeah, they really, like, highlighted the food she made at the end to, like, highlight how delicious it looked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the, like, animation of the butter melting over the corn and stuff. Like,
yeah, and she made soup, and she made cornbread, and she, yeah, it was great.
It's the sort of thing that I think of more as appearing in anime in more modern times, is they'll have, when they, like, show food, it looks, like, just decadent, and you're like, I want that. And, like, they're going for the same vibe here of making you want desperately all these corn foods.
Yeah. Yes, yes. It was interesting when they would all talk to each other or sing at each other, whatever. But I could understand, because... is the same voice actor still does Donald Duck to this day? Or
no, he's dead.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I didn't know how old.
No, a man from 1934 is not still doing the Donald Duck voice today. No, I think the current modern one is Tony Anselmo.
And when did the... approximately,
I don't
did the
know.
Switch? Okay. Well, all I'm saying is one of the things that bothers me is I don't understand usually much of what Donald says nowadays, but I could clearly understand what he was saying in these shorts.
I think, generally speaking, Donald is much easier to understand than people say. Like, he's generally not that hard to understand, I think, including in modern stuff. The main thing that makes him difficult to hear in these older ones is, I think, the sound quality overall, which is just poorer because it's old. But
I could understand him. It just...
yeah. I also can mostly understand Donald in current things, so I don't... yeah.
Okay.
I guess I've just been inundated with his voice since I was a child. I learned Donald Duck language.
That's fair.
The Silly Symphony Sunday comic strip ran a 3-month-long adaptation of this short from September to December 1934. It was Donald Duck's first appearance in Disney Comics.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. All right.
Dr. Tracy Mollett suggests that the short's narrative reflects the economic reality of the time, the Great Depression, and President Roosevelt's efforts to bolster the agricultural sector. Mollett surmises that Peter Pig and Donald Duck's actions, not helping to cultivate and harvest crops, is a rejection of early New Deal policy of self-sufficiency in farming. The short reinforces the belief in New Deal policy by having Donald and Peter pay a consequence for their rugged individualism. The featured song also draws upon contemporary elements as it references the harsh weather that had antagonized the crises in the rural sector across the 1933-34 winter, as the hen seeks to grow corn so she is not left short when winter comes again.
Hmm.
I think it's fun to hear doctors talk, like people with PhDs talking about old cartoons. I just think it's fascinating. It's fun. I think that sort of thing is there, right? Like, that's a part of why the Three Little Pigs short was so loved, because people could relate it to some stuff of the day, and why it still worked in the 1940s when we're in the war, and they can interpret its meaning a little bit differently, but also it works for that, you know? Like, yeah, people definitely subconsciously or consciously relate stuff to the current times. So, yeah, it's interesting to me.
This one is a bit more subtle in kind of the messages of today for back then. Like, you have the Betty Boop ones that are very obviously satire or tongue-in-cheek about the contemporary happenings. But yeah, I can see how this is pulling on or can be easily related to for the people of the time.
I found it interesting that the hen, I just like the little good nature of the hen, because initially, even though both Peter and Donald were being slackers, she wasn't finding fault in them until she sees them in their, lazy club. I forgot the name of it. Idol club. I don't know. Some of the wood falls down and she sees them snickering and sees that they are, that this is all a ruse, that they're actually not sick. Because up until that point, she was going to do her work and I bet she would have invited them to share, you know, to share the eating. But once she sees that, no, they're just being lazy. So maybe that was also the writer's way of the moral about you're just shrugging, you know, this off. But I just thought that says something about her nature, because again, that's when, you know, she decided she was going to, you know, kind of, you know, trick them back, you know, as far as inviting them to come eat. And then no, she wasn't going to give them any kind of food. The designs, I was going to also say, I really like her design. I like the little chick's design. And of course, their little shoes.
Booties are so good.
So cute. I don't know who decided to come up with that, but that was just adorable. I also liked Peter's design. I might have already said that, but in his outfit. And Donald, of course, I'm not real thrilled about his design. But I mean, but it's not terrible. But I find it interesting that they still, of course, have his little sailor hat and his little outfit.
The elements are all there.
Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing how, you know, you get used to things, because I really like how he has now his full, like, little orange webbed feet and you know, just a, I don't know, more appealing face and not as long of a neck, you know. And
you're
not
talking in current
stuff? In current stuff, sure. Now, as opposed to the original.
Yeah, in this older one, his bill is, like, much longer and thinner, I think, is a lot of it. Like, he looks more like a early 1930s cartoon, but in color. So
yeah, and his little legs and his feet are just black, and his little feet are even, you know, I don't know, just not even
in the
very
black and white
big
one.
Correct. I mean, they aren't even that wide, you know. They're just kind of, I don't know. So I just mean, is now his little feet are just, I don't know, more substantial, as well as
it's like they just got better at drawing characters.
I like it.
I like some of the close-up animation in Wise Little Hen with Peter and Donald and them just like shaking their heads sadly and stuff like that. And Peter like does his tongue out and it's like got spots, and Donald acts like, oh, I'm seeing spots or whatever with his gestures. Like I like the really kind of thick lines that it has on those close-up shots too. It's just fun.
Yeah, the only time they're not idle is when they are doing a really good acting sick part. Yes.
What'd you guys think of sound design and the song and stuff in the first one?
I think the music played in well, because they were singing as the dialogue. This was still like a more musical short, as most of them are.
As pretty much all the Silly Symphonies are.
Yeah, like they always do a good job with musicality being the not just under the songs, but also as a part of the environment and emphasizing the actions of the characters. There was a lot of like planting and tilling and all of that.
Oh yeah, I liked in particular to the music was when the corn grew and it would like kind of come out in little bunches and stuff directly on the beat. It's cute.
Yeah, like the overall indicating that passage of time. I don't think there was any weakness in like the storytelling of it.
Yeah, and they also did the wonderful beat and kept up with the beat when the little chicks were planting and all of that with their little motions and even bearing the seeds that I really, really enjoyed. And then, of course, I absolutely loved when Peter was jiggling and then doing his, you know, oink, 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 I think, or whatever, with that. I really enjoyed the timing and what they decided to do with actions and animation in time to the music was really fun.
Let's focus in on the second short some, with the story and characters in particular. There's a lot of character in here. What do you guys think?
Love the hen. Love the hen.
Clara Cluck.
Loved Clara
Cluck. She doesn't appear in a ton of cartoons, but she appears in some cartoons from here into like the early 40s. She sort of disappears completely around the same time that Clarabelle and Horace do, so...
I just love her whole design. I just love how poof up, you know, she can be. But I loved her singing. Loved how she carried herself.
My favorite thing is her running on stage with Mickey and like excitedly bowing, and they run off, and then she runs back on with him.
She does
it's
that
just
a couple
doing
of
it
yes.
the second time yes. is what's it's really cute.
That's what really just clinched her for me as far as just I just loved her. I also really Mickey was so cute, and I love the design of his little jacket with the like the formal long little. Tailcoats of his jacket, and I loved Clarabelle Cow. She was darling, and I loved her little wave and some of her motions and stuff.
Yeah, when like Goofy's holding her, and she just like waving.
I just loved it. I loved it. The little, of course, the little orphans were scamps, and
as they are in pretty much every cartoon they're in.
Yeah,
that's their job. It's to be scamps.
I wonder if. Like Mickey was or Minnie was supposed to perform, but she got sick or something, so they had to like do a like try to find somebody to perform quickly.
And Clara's like, please, please, please.
Or that's why Donald Duck gets pulled in, and it's such a like a simple thing. It's like they always find him funny, but he didn't want to do it because he gets annoyed at the kids. But he had to. And so it was kind of like, I'll do it, but they better not be mean.
And it's like, oh, it's going well at first.
Yeah.
And also, Goofy wasn't very goofy in that he was fairly blasé as far as a character. Whereas Horace is so funny because he was very strong, but he was almost like grumpy about the whole thing. And that was amusing in itself to me.
I think he's hamming it up, you know, for the audience.
Because
at one point he like flashes a big grin at the audience.
Okay. I thought their juxtaposition was very funny.
Yeah.
Because I agree, Horace seemed like very, very strong as well. Like, the contrast between...
It's like power.
When Goofy was trying to hold Clarabelle up, and I think it was like both hands, and they were kind of shaky, versus whenever she got tossed to Horace, and he could hold her up with one finger.
Yeah.
Very easily. I enjoyed that section.
Are we going to talk yet about that section or not?
You've been wanting to. Go for it.
That section where Horace is spinning Clarabelle, especially.
To clarify, in the color remake that is from later that was on a VHS tape that I saw as a child. Anyways.
Danica just would get so upset and cry and just she, but yet then I'd be like, then honey, let's not watch this short, but she would want to watch the short, But then she would get
so upset. I probably found Donald funny.
Yeah. She would just get so upset when Horace would come on to the part with Clarabelle and would start crying.
He has an angry face.
Yeah.
It was scary.
I think I would have to just fast forward it for you because she would just get so upset and cry. She was not about Horace spinning Clarabelle.
I did not have a good introduction to Horace Horse Collar, unfortunately. Did not like him.
Oh, goodness.
Although Orphan's Benefit was Donald's second appearance, this film was the first to significantly develop his character, as we saw. Yes. Many of the personality traits that you first see of him in this short become permanent, such as his love of showmanship, his fierce determination, belligerence, and most famously, his easily provoked temper. The film also introduced some of his physical antics, such as his signature temper tantrum of hopping on one foot while holding out a fist and swinging the other. This was the creation of animator Dick Lundy, who termed this Donald fighting pose. And it is. Yes. Forevermore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's wanting to fight children.
Yeah.
These little orphans, because he is not happy with them laughing at him. And that is so funny, because it really does show how easily provoked, because it's just, they have, like... When he's saying little boy blue, you know, come blow your horn, someone blows the horn. And that upsets him.
Yeah.
And it's just
he was
like,
interrupted.
I know, it's kind of like, come on, Donald. That's really Not that big of a deal. You know, I can see him getting
upset. I love the escalation. Like, the second time he tries to do it, he blows his own horn.
Yes.
Yes. And, like, laughs while no one else laughs. He's like, ha ha, yeah, see, I'm in on the joke. It's good now. Don't do it anymore.
Yes. Yes.
And then the most hilarious thing was the third time he's there, he appears from behind Clara as she leaves after her second bow. Yes. And he's got his hands behind his back and he's scowling. And he starts saying it, and then he waits, and the kids all act innocent. They're waiting, they're listening, and then from behind his back he pulls out a brick and tosses it to the side. And the implication is so, it's literally that meme.
Yes, exactly.
It's literally that meme. Like, how's it phrased? Like,
I don't, it's like she threw a rock.
Yeah, like, so seeing that it was a joke, she tossed the rock to the side or something. Like, yeah, yeah. Just the implication that he was gonna throw a brick at these children. It's really funny. But then he's like, oh no, it's fine.
Yeah, that also is my favorite.
It's so funny and so just indicative of Donald. Like, yeah, Donald would do that 100%.
Well, and even sorry that I think what, and it was a delayed reaction for me, but I especially in retrospect find it so funny that not expecting, you know, as Clara Bell leaves or whatever, that it's just. Cluck. Oh, as Clara Cluck leaves, all of a sudden, Donald's
there. Yeah, just there.
Just there.
And the camera, like, zooms in on him.
Yes, it's like, whoa.
He's just, like, tapping his foot.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, when did you get here?
Orphans Benefit represented a new direction for Disney cartoons. According to Disney historian Marcia Blitz, it can be seen that the framework of Orphans Benefit was traditionally slapstick. Audiences laughed at Donald's physical mishaps, much as they laughed at Chaplin's or Keaton's. But in this instance, there was the added dimension of Donald's abrasive personality. Surely nothing like it had ever been seen in a cartoon, and I do want you to think back to other cartoons we've seen and, like, do you feel like that's true? Animator Ward Kimball, who worked on the film, called it a turning point for the studio, citing its extensive use of character animation, which was used to physically convey personality. Like, yeah, think about, have we really seen clearly defined personalities in the cartoons that we've seen so far? And what's, would you maybe say is, I guess, the closest that we feel we've gotten to that?
I'd say the closest we have is Pete, but his is just the tropes of being a bad guy capturing a girl. So in that sense, I would say no, it didn't really show.
Yeah, he's not really like
just showing his personality.
He's not a consistent character either. He's just whatever the villain needs to be. Like, sometimes he's a dog catcher. Sometimes he's a guy who's stealing a girl. It just kind of is what he needs to be rather than it feeling like these are the personality traits of Pete.
Exactly.
It's like, these are the personality traits of the villain Pete needs to be right now.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it's more, the personality is not distinct. It's just following a trope.
And I think even Popeye, who's like a comics character and stuff, it doesn't feel like he's got a ton of personality right now. Like, he's a strong guy. He gets sad when his girl likes someone else.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers has no one. No one whatsoever. Like, yeah, it truly, and yeah, I mean, even Goofy isn't really Goofy yet at this point. He's not really, like, clumsy and has mishaps in a way that feels distinct from other characters at this point.
Yeah, like, you have Goofy being clumsy, but in this one, it didn't feel like it was something that was carrying over from previous shorts.
Yeah, and it more just felt like Horace is the competent one and Goofy is the less competent one. And that's just their comedy dynamic for the show that they're putting on rather than, like, super indicative traits of Goofy as a character. Like, we can retroactively apply that, but it doesn't really feel that distinct. Whereas Donald here, you have, like, this character that clearly has this sense of pride, that has this, like, rage within him, but is
lots of rage.
But is also kind of stupid and, like, oh, okay, I guess they're not gonna do it this time, so I'll do this. They actually want to hear me this time. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on there that you can then create situations from, because you have this idea of how this character acts with those situations. Mickey Mouse, it's like, yeah, he's the good guy, but, like, if you put him in a very specific situation that isn't, like, being a hero, you don't necessarily know exactly what he's going to do. But here you have the pieces of like, oh, we can put this character into situations and we know he has a short temper. We know he's got that pride. We know these things about him and we can play with that. And it really does start changing the sort of comedy that Disney does for the better overall. Also, the response to the film back in the day was very positive. Audiences loved it, particularly Donald's character, which led to him being featured in a lot more cartoons. Ward Kimball, one of the animators, said the reaction to Orphan's Benefit that came pouring into the studio from the country was tremendous. The kids in the theater loved or hated or booed Donald Duck.
That's so great. I wish that they had done the same to solidify Mickey's character, because we've talked about even in recent
they never how do. They do.
Because what I mean is, because just like, you know, Donald is predictable because of his very definitive, again, pride, short temper, or whatever, you could have had Mickey that just stays sweet and calm under any circumstance and is always like, you know, which kind of, you know,
that's still not really what it is. I mean, what Mickey fundamentally kind of is and becomes is the everyman character, which is like, that's a thing, but that's not a thing that tends to work as well by itself.
Right.
Yeah. It's a thing that has to play off of. Yeah. I mean, I think the series that best kind of does find stuff for Mickey to do himself is the 2013 Mickey Mouse series. That kind of combine some of his rapscallion stuff with the more traditional Mickey. But yeah, it's hard to find like just the immediate hook for Mickey in the way that like a temper is Donald's like immediate hook. And then there's these other like negative kind of characteristics that he also has. And Goofy leans further and further into like this big dumb klutz, which is like, okay, you can put a big dumb klutz in a lot of specific situations. Like, Mickey just is harder to find the hook for, to especially have him be the star rather than a supporting character.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would compare him to Kermit the Frog. Like, Kermit the Frog is pretty even-keeled compared to everybody else, but he has his moments. Like, there's a not a controlling, but like wanting things, like if you got a plan, he wants to go through that plan and he can get a bit frazzled from that. He can be bashful around Miss Piggy, but there are things that are like quintessentially Kermit that they don't really have a corresponding quintessentially Mickey.
Yeah. It just is really like the version of Mickey you get might have them. But yeah. Like Mickey as a character is, yeah, much less definable than Kermit.
Other than Kingdom Hearts, King Mickey. That's my favorite.
I mean, that's so out there compared to all the other Mickeys.
Iconic form of Mickey that everyone thinks of when they think of Mickey Mouse—the one that runs around in a black like hood, wielding a blade and saying that he's gonna save his friends. Like, yeah, truly iconic. The most iconic Mickey.
All I'm saying is that's my favorite Mickey.
It's
just especially funny because you haven't played the games and yet you're like, Mickey the most. So funny. Anything else that you guys want to say about story characters or even, brief voice acting. Do want to, of course, note that Clarence Nash is voicing Donald again. Florence Gill, who voiced the Wise Little Hen, is Clara Cluck. So she gets to come back. Woo-hoo. For that.
Yeah, on the Wise Little Hen, I just loved how she said corn. It was
corn.
So funny every time she did it.
She does it so well. Yeah, she just has a great time hamming it up, singing like an operatic song as a chicken.
I loved it. I'm sorry. It just so cracked me up. And I loved her design. I loved like how the clumps kind of feathers that the way, I don't even, it just her, really was
she
great.
Mostly looks the same as the art style evolves. Unfortunately, the main thing that I feel changes is more of an emphasis on chest.
Oh yeah.
there's more of an emphasis of like there being a defined shape up there, and I don't like it. Yeah. I don't need that from this chicken. But yeah, what do you guys think of the animation and the sound design? There's no songs in this one, but there's still a lot of music.
For animation, The orphans were cute. In the beginning, you had the orphans coming in, and there was lots of little fun vignettes or whatever of, like, I think one of them was floating up to the balcony because it was tied to balloons.
Mm. Those balloons come back.
So. Yeah, yeah. It's just very silly little things.
One falls off the balcony almost at one point, and the others are just kind of laughing.
Oh, wait. Yeah. It was flying. It was floating up to the balcony on balloons. Then the balloons pop, but their outfit, the like gown that they're wearing, kind of poofs out like Peach's skirt as they float down.
Yeah, yeah.
Very silly.
I also found Clarabelle, Horace, and Goofy's costumes just funny. They were just, you know, like Spotted Leopard, you know.
As Clarabelle's, like, dancing around, her, like, slip will, like, fall down. She, like, apparently has it bunched up, so it almost just looks like panties, but then it'll, like, fall down and cover her whole leg. Because yeah. She's just got long, long underalls, like, scrunched.
Yeah, well, and I guess, too, what I found funny, because she looked more like peasant attire, especially with her bloomers and her little flowy dress, and they're just like in these one piece Spotted Leopard, you know, you know, the outfits. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's so funny. Oh my gosh. I mean, as far as the number and them, you know, spinning Clarabelle and tossing her back and forth.
Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up? Overall, decently. I think one of the things that holds up the least is just like the sound is just old and it can make it really hard to hear, which is, I think, less of a problem with The Wise Little Hen. Like, they repeat enough and what they're saying is simple enough that you get the gist of everything that's being said.
Yeah.
In Orphan's Benefit, it most affects the end of the cartoon where it's actually hard for me to understand what Donald says and what the orphans respond, which is like essential to the joke because he's reciting Little Boy Blue and then they interrupt him right at the end, which makes him mad. And then they kind of begin the final assault. But yeah, he's reciting the poem and he gets to the part where he says, "Where is that boy who looks after the sheep?" And then the orphans respond, "Under the haystack, fast asleep, you dope." Which then makes him mad. And then, you know, we get the finale. But yeah, it's hard to tell what they say in particular, which is, I think, partially attributed to me not knowing Little Boy Blue as a rhyme as well.
Right.
But is also just like the sound quality is, it's hard. It's harder to hear. Subtitles would be good for this particular cartoon. There's also, in particular, an Orphan's Benefit, an impression that just, like, flies over people's heads nowadays, I think. Donald impersonates comedian Jimmy Durante when he says, "Am I mortified? Am I mortified?" And his bill changes to make fun of Durante's famous nose.
Yeah.
So you guys were like, what is that? And that's what that is. It's a Jimmy Durante reference.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. He still says the same thing when they remake the cartoon in the 40s, but his bill doesn't change shape, so that joke is kind of neutered and doesn't matter as much in that version.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I was wondering what was going on.
But overall, they hold up decently. I mean, the Orphan's Benefit is also hampered by the fact that it literally has a, like, HD remake of sorts that's, like, in color and with more modern, of what we think of as modern, even if they're from the 40s, character designs, with more squash and stretch animation and stuff, you know. It still holds up well. Like, it's still a good cartoon. It just happens to have also been remade even better later. Wise Little Hen is pretty simple, but it's inoffensive. I mean, Disney has Wise Little Hen on Disney Plus, I believe, so. Whereas I don't think they have either version of Orphan's Benefit, unfortunately. All right, let's go on to our favorites and least favorites. What was your least favorite moment in either cartoon? You can do one for me, each or one altogether. Whatever you feel like.
Okay, this is a stretch because this is hard. I don't really have that I can pinpoint a least favorite in the first one because I just like all the different sections and components. And I really like everything in the second, but I am just going to say, I guess if I just have to pick something, my least favorite is the repetition with Goofy in the dance where he, like, his head keeps getting knocked under.
And because especially even the focus on Goofy, he's so un-Goofy-like in the sense that he's just kind of a blah, you know, character. And, you know, and, you know, the weakness not being able to hold up. But there, I think at least twice, maybe three times, but definitely twice, they did the same gag where, again, you know, his head gets knocked down into, you know, pass into his body. And it takes a while and he just has a hat over it. And then he has to finally get his head to come back up. So I'm just going to pick that.
I'll say the Jimmy Durante impersonation just because, like, even though I have watched enough old cartoons that I could recognize that's what it is, I just don't care about it. I'm glad it's minimized in the remake because I don't care.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
What was your favorite moment in either or both?
Definitely my favorite in Orphan's Benefit is when Donald threw that brick to the side. That was
it's so funny. It's so funny. Yeah, 100% agree.
I'm going to have to say with Clara Cluck coming back on stage because it was in her little strut and whatnot. I just loved it so much.
I'll give a favorite moment for Wyatt's little hint also. It's the close-up of Peter and Donald when Peter shows his tongue and Donald's like being like, oh, I got spots in my eyes. I like that bit.
It's really playing it up. They're like, yeah. Oh, we feel so bad.
Like the little finger wiggle of Donald's feathery fingers.
And mine in Wise Little Hen is just when the pig, that combination just cracked me up so much with this belly jiggling.
You were laughing a lot when Peter Pig first.
I don't know why that just was so funny. I think it's the timing was just so perfect with that jiggle and that oinks. I don't know. I wasn't expecting that.
I love how she said corn, but I also really liked whenever the chicks were planting the corn, there were so many fun scenes of them like tilling the dirt and watering, and it was very cute.
Yeah, yes, that was a great pick.
Who was your least favorite character? I'm going to say in each this time. I feel like you can do it.
Peter Pig for the first one.
Agreed.
I'm going to third that.
He and Donald are essentially the same in the first one, but Donald's the character I like, so.
Yeah.
And then in the second,
I think Mickey, he doesn't do a lot.
Yeah.
I'm actually, for a similar reason, I'm going to say Goofy because Goofy was the most unlike Goofy. And with Mickey, I really enjoyed not only his little piano playing, but his little tailcoat and stuff and his little flair of, I don't know, introducing things. So I'm just going to say Goofy.
I'll throw it to Goofy too. Sure. It's not a strong opinion. Who's your favorite character in each? In Wise Little Hen, I'll give it to the chicks that you guys insist are a separate character.
I'm gonna second that.
Because they're very cute. They're little booties.
Yes. They're really so cute. I'll agree.
Yes.
And in Orphan's Benefit, I mean, it's Donald. Donald's hilarious at Orphan's Benefit. Throwing aside that brick is the funniest thing.
I gotta give it to, is it Clarabelle Cluck?
Clara Cluck.
Clara Cluck.
There is a character named Clarabelle, and there is a character named Clara. I understand the confusion.
Okay,
Clara Cluck. What other name could they have named her?
I know, because
it's like a bad idea.
They wanted alliteration with both, so they went with almost the same thing.
No. So Clara Cluck.
Carolyn Cow. Coraline Cow. Because Clarabelle Cluck, that makes sense.
Yeah, that would.
It's too late, guys. They are established characters from the 1930s. Their names are not changing.
Just saying.
Which was your favorite and least favorite short? Like, which one did you prefer?
Yeah, I think Orphan's Benefit, I prefer that one. Because Donald was very funny. Yeah, I don't know. It's not too much strong one over the other. But I'll say I prefer Orphan's Benefit.
It's a close call for me because I really do like Orphan's Benefit, but I think I'm going to give it to the Wise Little Hen because there were so many things, especially after discussing it. Like, again, I just love the little chicks. I love their planting scene. I love the pig jiggling tummy and I love the, you know, all the cooking at the end, and I love the designs and the animation. So I'm going to go with that.
Orphan's Benefit. Definitely. I enjoy the character work. Donald's funny. Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate each of them.
I guess I would recommend both, but maybe a little less of a recommendation for Orphan's Benefit, knowing that there is a subsequent one, so you could probably watch that one instead. But they're both good. As for rating, I guess I'll give them both a 3.25.
I would definitely recommend both. And I'm going to give Wise Little Hen a 3. And I'm going to give Orphan's Benefit a 3.25. Because even though I kind of enjoyed the Wise Little Hen better overall, I just think the actions, the character, the different shenanigans that happen at Orphan's Benefit bump it up a little bit.
I will give Wise Little Hen a 2.75. I think it's fine. And I'll give Orphan's Benefit a 3.5. Thank you all very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Next time, we will be watching a cartoon from a studio we haven't watched yet.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So,
okay.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Join us next time for some elves.
Ooh. All right. Ooh. All right. I'm already hooked. All right.
Oh, my God. Bye. Until
Bye.
Next time. This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=279-0566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening.
And then I'm assuming you would highly recommend.
Yeah, I already said.
Oh, sorry. You can cut that part then. Okay.
If you want to. No one's trying to make you.
Uh-huh.